Hello and welcome. This is Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast. This is episode 13 and it's the 21st of November 2013. Hope you're all well and thanks for coming along and listening. I know the weather's turned bitterly cold, so gardening's probably the last thing on your mind, but you know what? There's still things that can be done and it all helps. And it also, I find, helps with the cold winter blues, getting those away. So with that, coming up today, I've got a bit of an update on what I've been doing. I've got a new growing guide on overwintering chilies. So please listen along. And with that, let's get on with the show. Hi guys, this is Richard and it's Sunday. I've just done a bit in the allotment. I popped here yesterday as I was passing and just gave it the once over, a bit of tidying, burnt a few things. Not a huge amount to really report. But today, I came here for a couple of hours. I'm on call this week, as I probably mentioned, so it's a bit difficult to get anything done. But while I was here, I hoed the top bed, and I then covered that with some of the horse manure and compost, basically getting that ready for next year. That bed, I think, is nearly complete. I'll probably give it some more compost in next week and keep hoeing it over the winter, although it's highly unlikely much is going to grow. But that bed is next year going to be the brassicas, so my kales and my Brussels sprouts are going to grow there, which are obviously quite need a lot of nitrogen. They're quite a leafy group of plants, so yeah, hopefully that'll be nice and ready. I did venture into the polytunnel. I noticed the lowest temperature recording has been 1.5 degrees C. So not quite freezing in there, but it's getting close. I'm hopefully going to keep some stuff in there over the winter to protect them more. I'm going to put fresh horse manure in there. And the idea is the horse manure heats up as it degrades. And it'll warm up the polytunnel. It's probably not going to do a massive amount, but every little helps, I think, really. I dug up the chilli plant and ready for overwintering, which I'm going to talk about my overwintering later on, or overwintering chilies. So I won't go too much into that, you'll get that later. Swept up a few more leaves and stuff, and that's all gone into the leaf mold bin, which is actually quite full, but I've got some chicken wire left over that I've just put over the front to where there's an opening, and that has given it a bit more space to hold more in. And obviously as it rots down, I can take the chicken wire off and I've got access to the leaf mould product. That'll probably be a couple of years off, but again, it's a free product that is useful in the garden. Now, the other day when I came here, the water butt at the top had fallen over and lost all its water it put in there. Now this is one I think I've said in previous episodes that the base for it has been falling apart. Well, I've made a new base out of a couple of bricks and a bit of wood, and that seems quite stable. And I've secured that, and that's back in position, all ready to go, really. Now, I've just started clearing some of the other beds, just digging up some of the weeds and leftover products. I've harvested all the apples off the apple tree, just so as they are safe and rescued. Because I think they're going to freeze, and I don't know how they cope with the freezing and the thawing. So there wasn't a huge amount. I think there's 11 apples. So not a huge amount. I'll take those home and we'll use them. Dug up the sweet potato as well and harvested those. Now, they're not that impressive for sweet potato. I think in the shops we're used to seeing some quite big potatoes, whereas these are probably only an inch big. So not the hugest, but they were outside, and I believe these like heat. So I think next year I might put a couple inside the polytunnel as well as outside. But it's better than nothing, and it's been a quite a good experiment, really. It's a year for growing. I've tried growing sweet potatoes, so I'm quite happy with it, really. As I say, there's not a huge amount there, but it's probably enough for one meal or so. Now, I did notice yesterday and today there's a few people up here for a change. In the last few weeks, there's been no one. I think that somebody has taken on a new tenant in one of the allotments near us, because he's been busy working both yesterday and today. I think he's been here pretty much all day. And there's another couple I've seen a few times up here, a bit further over. And they've working away and digging stuff and burning stuff. So obviously the drier weather has made people come out. I mean, it's not that cold either, really. So yeah, it's good to see, really. Let's just hope that it stays it. I should imagine January I'll be the only one here again, possibly one of the others that I know of, but highly unlikely I'll see anyone. Right, so with that, I'm heading home now, and I'll speak to you soon. Okay, so at home, still harvesting saffron. They're doing reasonably well with that. I'm quite happy, really. Apart from feeding them every now and then, I'm probably not going to have to do much more with those for the next year, and it'll keep producing more crops and more crops. Eventually, I will have to separate the bulbs out and thin them down, but of course they produced more bulbs, so I get even more plants. Something I have done, I've gone through my seed box. Basically, I've got a largish box that I keep all my seeds in, and I've just gone through, seeing what I've got and what I need. Now, I spoke about seeds last week. I went through them, threw any out that were out of date. And then the earliest, I sorted them into order of their earliest sowing dates. So I've got some that I can sow now. They're mostly herbs, and I will be sowing those. I've got some that can be sowed in January, some that can start in February, some that can start in March, some that can start in April. I've got a couple that go back until the end of next year, so I won't worry too much about those. But yeah, I've sorted those out into their corresponding dates, and I've made little markers so I know quite easily when I get to January, that is the load I can start sowing. And each month I just go through them. I'll start with the open packs, and then any that go out of date the soonest is what I will start with as well, and use them up. I very, very rarely buy seeds. I tend to get my seeds off magazines and use those. So I actually end up with quite a few. I buy 3 magazines a month, and they nearly always come with seeds. The only seeds I do buy are some that I don't get in the magazines. And in particular, I brought some packets that I saw in a customer of mine I was working on. It's a garden centre, and they had some seeds that were discounted at 50p a packet. So I bought those, and they are part of James Wong's Food Revolution. So they're the more unusual type. And if you remember in last week's podcast, I spoke about what unusual stuff I might grow as I do each year. Well, I've selected those now from this. These seeds, they are electric daylilies, bergamot, and borage. So I'll be growing those as my expansion on something I've never grown before. I'm also putting cauliflowers in that same category as well, I've decided. So I've never grown cauliflowers before, so I want to have a go at that. Although I don't really like cauliflowers, which defeats the point of what my biggest motto, grow what you eat and eat what you grow. But like so many things out there, most people don't like certain foods because of how it's cooked. And something I've tried before that I quite liked with cauliflower was making it into like a rice. And that's very simple, just blitz it in the microwave until it becomes, in a blender, until it becomes very fine and rice-like, and then just boil it up until tender. It's a bit healthier, I should think, than normal rice, not so many carbs, if you know, into that sort of thing. I think I'll be doing that. So, that's really what I've been doing at home. I'm going to start sowing some seeds a bit more, so plans afoot for that. And I've been getting the spare room ready, the windowsill ready for that. So, with that, I'm going to come on to my next bit, which I think will be the overwintering chilies. Okay, so yeah, this is going to be about overwintering chili plants. This is my growing guide. As with all my growing guides, you'll hear it here first, and then there will be a written article on the website. I'll probably release this Monday or Tuesday, more than likely Tuesday, so you get more of a benefit by hearing it online, on the podcast, sorry. As always, the website is thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. Along the top, you'll find an option that says articles. Click on it, it'll bring down a menu, and there'll be growing guides. Or you can just search for it on the search bar. So here we go. Right. Now, I like to overwinter chili plants over winter. I find this a really easy method of getting more more success from one plant, using it year and year. Think of an apple tree. How many times do you get that to fruit in its lifetime? And quite often I find that by growing these over the winter, they come a bit, I get a harvest a bit earlier. I haven't found a type of chili that you can't do this with. All chili plants are successful. The method is actually very easy and simple. I'm normally trying to do this in November before the first frosts. I'm a bit late really this year, although it is still November. First of all, I just simply check over all my chili plants and pick any remaining chilies. Any plants that are diseased or look a bit like they're not going to make it, I'd throw away. I have to admit, it's very rare I get diseases with chili plants or even get really any problems with them. They're quite tough. They're quite resilient. And I think that's partly because they don't originate from this country. So all the diseases and stuff come from the countries they come from, really. And then just prune back the plant, probably by about a third. This is just so it doesn't need as much water to keep it going through the winter as the leaves aren't perspiring as much. There's no real sort of hard and fast rules, really, just snip away. You want a few leaves, obviously, to keep fuel in it. This also encourages a bit of a bushier plant for next year. is like anything when you prune it. When it grows back in the spring, it grows with bushier. Once I've done this, just simply dig up the plant, if it's in the ground, and place in the pot. Any particular pot, no real need for that. And then move it indoors. I guess a heated greenhouse would be quite successful as well. This year I'm going to try in the polytunnel and see if they survive there, of which that result I will record later on in next year, and let you know how it gets on. In the future we'll plan to have a greenhouse, not in this where I live currently, but somewhere when I move. And when I have a greenhouse, I'll be placing them in there over the winter, with probably with the aid of a heater, depending on how well they survive in the polytunnel this year. Now it's just simply a case of monitoring it over the winter and lightly watering the plants. Don't need a huge amount of watering, really. It's quite minimal. It's just really keeping the soil moist. The plant will put on very little growth, if any. And I've never really fed them over the winter either. Come March, the plants will probably start to grow again as the light levels increase and the warmth increases. So I'll probably start to feed and water them a bit more regularly. Around April, I find that the plants can go into the shed window quite successfully, or even a cloche. And in about mid-April, I'll probably start hardening the plants off, ready to go outside. However, like this year, it was quite a cold beginning, quite a cold spring, so I had to delay that. But again, that's experience and trial and error, really. If a plant's going to go in the ground, I'll probably prepare the soil a few weeks before by adding a handful of grey mulch and just giving it a good rake in. And then I'd simply, when ready to plant the plant, I'd just simply dig a hole big enough to take the root ball, pot the plant in the hole and backfill it with some soil and give it a really good water. Caning if needed as well. After that, it's just simply growing the plant on with an occasional feed. You could use a feed designed for tomato plants. They say tomato plants, but actually they're quite good for a number of things. Or if you want to make your own, I'll probably use a nettle feed until the plant flowers, and then I'd switch to a comfrey feed when it starts flowering. And watering as well. It's minimal because they do come from hot climate. They don't need a huge amount of water. And in fact, I find, and if I've spoken to chili suppliers who say this, that if you treat your plants quite mean, they tend to produce better crops. If you're constantly giving them water, they like it too much, and they don't try and propagate. With my overwintered plants, I found that, you know, I can get a harvest as early as June. May not sound like that early, but trust me, it is. I hope you'll try that. It's well worth a shot. It may be a bit late to do it now. Mine are successful. It's worked for me. I've got a few more to dig up, but that are still living. So, yeah, with that. Right, so I think I'm going to wrap up now anyway. Thank you for listening again. Please do go visit theveggrowpodcast.co.uk. You'll find all the previous podcasts there, as well as a forum and many growing guides, and some photos. So please do go have a look. Sign up as well. You don't have to sign up to browse, but if you want to comment or anything, you do need to sign up. Signing up is free. At the moment, I have well over near 120 members that have signed up, but no one's speaking. So please do sign up and speak. So with that, thank you again. This is Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast. Goodbye.